Hi, this is Wayne Fetterman. I have a website called waynefetterman.com. It's a very creative title. I'm here at Storyworthy, and I'm ready to tell a story.
Hey! Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame in the Lambeau Field Atrium Complex.
Oh, Hannes, you are in your glory with this topic.
I know. There's so many. Look at all of our... Oh, there's four Super Bowl trophies right here.
Vince and Lombardi's if we were trophy. In Pittsburgh, there would be six.
I don't understand it.
All right, you guys, tonight the topic is Super Bowl Sunday.
Super Bowl Sunday.
Brought to us by Wayne Fetterman.
Oh, we love the Wayne.
We love Fetterman. He's been here before, and so tonight he wants to talk about the Super Bowl, and that's easy.
Yeah, Super Bowl Sunday. I know, it is. It's weird to me that, like, Super Bowl Sunday has become the de facto national holiday, I think, even more than like Christmas.
I think it's just next to Thanksgiving in terms of like food and beverage purchases.
Yeah, but it's bigger because everybody has to make a decision if they're going to watch it or they're not going to watch it. But you still have to make a decision about I'm going to deliberately not watch it or I'm going to watch it. It's just weird to me that it's like become almost a religious holiday, except it's completely de facto owned by a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't even use the phrase Super Bowl unless you've paid the money.
Well, Super Bowl, I think it comes from it comes from the college football bowl games, right? So it's the Super Bowl game. It's the biggest bowl game.
Yeah, the first Super Bowl game was not called the Super Bowl. It was just called the NFL AFL Championship.
But it
of course, by the Green Bay Packers.
Yes,
under
that's
Vince
right.
Lombardi.
And that's why it's called the Vince Lombardi Trophy, right?
That's right. Yeah.
But the actual bowl is named after the Rose Bowl, right? Because it was the shape of the Rose Bowl.
No, it wasn't played in the Rose Bowl. It was played in the LA Coliseum.
No, but I mean the term
just the
bowl.
The term bowl came from
the Rose Bowl, I think.
Yes, because and that came from the fact that the stadiums were shaped like bowls and they just became sort of that, and then they took that and kind of made it into the de facto, so now there was a Rose Bowl. And yeah, that all existed well before the Super Bowl.
Well, as you know, I grew up in Pittsburgh. And you know how I always know how many Super Bowls there are, Hannes?
Because everyone in your family will not shut up about it?
No, because I'm 48. So I know that it was Super Bowl 48.
Oh, you mean that. Yes, like that's right. You are the exact age of the Super Bowl.
I am the age of the Super Bowl, and there's something to be said for that. I mean, I grew up loving football because I was forced into it.
Right.
But my father, not so much of a football fan anymore, but when I was growing up in the 70s, those men playing, Lynn Swann and Terry Bradshaw and Mean Joe Green, it was such a presence in our life.
I'm talking about
They were like rock and roll. They were stars.
Yeah.
And my father watched those games with such urgency. He would sometimes take his slippers off and throw them at the TV, You idiot, Bradshaw! Thwack,
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
It was just so intense.
Yeah, and it's funny you're talking about the 70s, because in the 70s, when I was a kid as well, I kept hearing about the Super Bowl and how the Packers had won the Super Bowl, first two Super Bowls, and how we were title town and blah, blah, blah. But the team sucked.
Yeah, right.
70s and 80s, the Packers sucked royal dairy ass.
Did you like... That's
you heard
good.
Me.
I like
dairy
that.
Ass.
That's like
yes.
a colloquialism.
Yes, exactly.
So did you like another team? Like a lot of people just like the Cowboys.
No, I never ever. I'm from Wisconsin. I never deviated one moment from the Green Bay Packers.
Well, that ought to count for something, Hannes.
It ought to count for something. Finally, of course, we were blessed with Brett Favre and then Aaron Rodgers. And,
you do love Brett Favre, don't you?
I do love Brett
Favre.
Like,
you really, you would like to be with him. Is that true?
Yes. Yes, I would like to be with him. Funny thing about Brett Favre is like it's like whenever I hear him talk, I realize I wouldn't actually like to talk to him because he's pretty much just a redneck. Like, I can't imagine I would actually have any conversation to have with him.
Right.
But it's like I still love him.
Yeah.
Immensely.
He's your man. Right.
I can't help myself.
I have that for Bubby Brister. No, I'm kidding.
Bobby Brister. What about, what is that guy?
Cordell Stewart.
Oh, Cordell Stewart. And you do have a picture of yourself with Bill Cowher.
Yeah, I do. I have a great picture of me and Bill Cowher. We were at a dinner together because I was, I did a campaign for Iron City Beer in Pittsburgh. I see light and Iron City Beer. And so I was sitting at dinner with Bill Cowher, and he was actually really funny. Somebody across the table from me had on a tie tack that was a Clark bar.
Yeah.
You know the Clark bar.
The Clark
Pittsburgh.
Bar, sure. Yeah.
And I said, I love that tie tack. And the guy said, thank you. And Bill Cowher said, you know, give it to her, Ed. And he said, what? And Bill said, just give her the tie tack. And so the guy was like shamed into giving me his Clark bar tie tack.
Nice.
And so when I wear my Clark bar tie tack, I, of course, think of Bill Cowher.
That's right. Now, I know that you did not sleep with Bill Cowher, but
Jesus,
I think
Honest.
For the. What? What?
No, I didn't.
Look, if I had a story like that involving Brett Favre, you'd say, and did you sleep with Brett
he
Favre?
He was married at the time, although he's not anymore.
Yeah, yeah, guys in the NFL never cheat on their wives. That never,
shocking.
That never happened. Hey, I'm just saying, for the sake of the story, I think you should change it and make it that you did sleep with him.
Okay, would that be a better story?
It'd just be a fun story. he's like, I got you a tie tack, so... Come on. You're like, well, I mean, obviously it's an even trade.
All right, you guys. Hey, listen, we got a great storyteller coming up here in just a minute. But I did want to remind you, a great place to listen to Storyworthy is at swell.am. You know Swell, Hannes?
Swell. It's one of the words I'm trying to bring back into the lexicon.
It's like a radio
like
app is what it is.
Yes.
And there's a lot of them out there. You know, Stitcher, we love them too. But Swell happens to be really great. They're on my phone. And it's free, of course. And it's a great place to hear any of your favorite podcasts.
No, but especially.
But especially Storyworthy.
Yeah, these people are always doing amazing things with these websites.
Also, folks, remember, you can always email us here at Storyworthy. The email address is info@storyworthypodcast.com.
Yes, if you have questions,
@storyworthypodcast.com.
You can go to our Facebook page. You can leave us messages there if you have questions.
You can do
you
that.
Or you can go on the Twitter directly
on the Twitter,
to you,
@storyworthy. I enjoy the Twitter.
Yeah, yeah, you enjoy the Twitter. I like the Facebook more. I really enjoy Telegrams particularly, though. Unfortunately, we don't have a Telegram address.
All right, you guys, listen, stay wherever you are, because Wayne Fetterman is on his way here. Next week on Storyworthy, we have director Tim Schismar.
And I'll be talking about getting naked.
That's coming up next week on Storyworthy.
Hey, this is Chris Magaha, and you are listening to Storyworthy.
And we're back. We've left the Hall of Fame. We are now actually on the field, Lambeau Field. We are at the 50-yard line, and I'm going to kick a 50-yard field goal. Here we go. Missed. Okay, let's get back to the show.
You know, it is a hell of a perspective from the field level to look up and to see those stands, right?
Yeah, exactly. You talk about a bowl. See, that's one of the great things about Lambeau Field. It's a bowl. They freaking redid Soldier Field in Chicago.
Right.
It looks like a spaceship that crashed and is all tilted. It's not right. It's like it should look like a football field.
You know, they redid Three Rivers Stadium. It's now called Heinz Field. And
right, gorgeous.
The seats are really small. I mean, for me, I'm slightly comfortable in it. But like when I went to a game with my brother, and my brother's not heavy at all, but he's like 6'1", and, you know, he's a big guy. He could barely fit in that seat. The stadium was not built for the people that live in Pittsburgh.
Let's not kid ourselves. Yeah, there's a lot of people in Pittsburgh with giant asses,
all over America, right.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So then the second problem with Heinz Field is, I shit you not, now hopefully they've corrected this problem, but the beers, the cups, did not fit into the cup holder.
It
was taking up part of the seat. You know what I mean?
The seats are
small because of the fancy cup holders that don't fit the cups.
See, I don't care for that.
It's
kind
just
of
a,
thing.
It's a lose-lose situation.
That is the field
situation.
That was blown up by Bane in Dark Knight Rises.
That's exactly
correct?
Right. Yes,
that is the field.
They shot
yes.
that. My father was an extra in that movie.
Oh, awesome!
Of course he was.
Yes.
All right, you guys. He's here right now. Wayne Fetterman. He is an actor and a comedian and an author. His list of acting credits, Hannes, is way too long to list here. Here's what happens with Wayne Fetterman.
It's got
Fetterman.
Perspective. That's how long the list
he
is.
He gets into the movie. He does a funny scene and then he's out. It's like a Fetterman and out. I think they call it.
Yeah, Fetterman. That's something his wife calls it too, but that's not really our problem.
some of the movies you perhaps have seen him in: Funny People, Step Brothers, Knocked Up, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, 50 First Dates. Lots of movies with numbers in them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Charlie's Angels. And on television, of course, he's done his stand-up on The Tonight Show and also Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. And you can find him on Twitter at Fetterman. So, folks, wherever you are, please put your hands together for Wayne Fetterman.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Well, here's my story. I'm starting it right now with that preface. When people ask me where I grew up, it's kind of a tricky question because I split my childhood between two specific locations, Silver Spring, Maryland, and Plantation, Florida. Now, Silver Spring is right outside Washington, D.C., and I had a big family, but I was closest to my brother, Andrew, who was 1 year older than I was. And I guess, like most siblings, we would compete in everything. And by any impartial metric, Andrew was superior to me. He was faster, he was quicker, he was smarter, he was more logical. We played Monopoly, Scrabble, chess. He'd destroy me in all of these things. But we used to play this game called Risk. And by the way, I have to just stop this in the middle of this story because I was going to get a Coca-Cola, which would help with my throat, but for some reason was not able to do that. All right, we'll be back. So anyway, he kind of destroyed me in all of these things. We used to play this game called Risk. Now, I don't know who invented this game. I think it was Adolf Hitler, because the object of Risk is to take over the world. Now, I don't know why kids are playing that. I guess you're learning about strategy and geography and megalomania. Anyway, Andrew would dominate the Risk game. He'd be like the Soviet Red Army engulfing continents. I'd be like Idi Amin holding onto an airstrip in Uganda. I'd never won that game. Anyway, early on, we picked our sports teams to root for. I picked the two local Washington teams, the Senators and the Washington Redskins. The Senators was a baseball team and a great slogan: first in war, first in peace, last in the American League. And the Redskins, who won an NFL championship way back in 1942, and of course had their name as this over-the-top offensive racial slur, which I had no idea was a racial slur. So at the age of 10 in 1969, the Fettermans leave Maryland and move to Florida, or as my uncle used to call it, God's waiting room. Now, when we were there, being a Redskin fan in Florida was very lonely because Florida had no baseball team, no hockey team, no NBA team. But they did have the Miami Dolphins, which were kind of a new franchise in the AFL, and they were just about to merge with the NFL, and that's all we heard about, these Miami Dolphins. I lived in the land of Dolphins, orange and turquoise. Meanwhile, my Redskins were horrible. So bad that they hired Vince Lombardi to coach them. Yes, the same Vince Lombardi of the Green Bay Packers, the name that's on the Super Bowl that they just gave to Seattle, that guy, his last year of coaching was spent with the Redskins. He was hired in 1969. By 1970, Vince Lombardi was dead. The Redskins were so horrible as a football team, they killed Vince Lombardi. But Lombardi's replacement was this quasi-psychopath named George Allen, and George had this insane plan for turning the Redskins around. He traded away all the draft picks for the entire decade of the 70s to get these aging veteran players. They called them the Over the Hill Gang, and it was kind of like the plot of a bad B-movie. It was like, this idea is so crazy, it just might work. So it does kind of work, and it gets weird, because my dad is a pharmacist, and his Florida business, of course, is booming, because there's a lot of old people who need prescription medications. So after 3 years in Florida, we moved to a new neighborhood, and guess who my next-door neighbor is? Larry Zonka. Now, for those who don't know Larry Zonka, he's the all-pro starting fullback for the Miami Dolphins. What are the chances? It's like being a Jew in Germany in 1939 and your babysitter is Albert Speer. Now, Zonka was a brute. He's like an old school fullback, like a Hungarian kid from Ohio. But to me, he couldn't be nicer. If he saw me walking, he would pick me up and drive me to school on his way to practice in his lime green Dodge Charger. He had two kids, Paul and Doug, that I babysat. I couldn't believe it, but I didn't want to be too friendly with them because the Dolphins are tearing through the AFC. In fact, have not lost a game. Meanwhile, George Allen's bizarre scheme is working. And my Redskins, this over-the-hill gang, if they can get past Dallas, will go to the Super Bowl. And like a bad nightmare, it happens. The Redskins beat the Cowboys, and waiting for them in Super Bowl number 7 is the undefeated AFC champion Miami Dolphins, led by my neighbor, Larry. So, of course, the Dolphins dominate. Redskins only score on one play where they return this interception for a touchdown, but the pass was thrown by the Dolphins' kicker. So it was just weird. We lost, and the Dolphins, when they won, remained the only undefeated pro football team. And my dream of rooting for a championship team would have to wait another 10 years. Now, as for Larry, he was inducted into both the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the College Football Hall of Fame. He also, for a lot of kids, now he hosted or co-hosted American Gladiators. And as for me, I still follow my Redskins, even though I live in both New York City and L.A. as an adult. And as for Andrew, my overachieving brother, well, he continues his domination. He was married, two great kids, and was nominated for an Oscar. Although I will say, a few years ago, I did beat him in tennis.
Wait a minute. He was not nominated for an Oscar. Your brother was.
Yeah.
For what?
Yeah.
If you want to, sure. It's up to you.
I'll be happy.
What category was he nominated in?
It's called editing. You're it's right. One of the below.
That's fantastic.
Below the line. Yeah. It was for a film called The Sixth Sense with Bruce Willis and.
Sure, the little boy.
Spoiler alert. Bruce Willis is dead the whole time.
Oh, there
that's
I spoiled it. That's a good movie, man.
Yeah.
I like that movie.
Yeah.
And so does he live out here in L.A.
No,
then?
He lives in New York.
How interesting. Did he ever live in L.A.?
No, I mean, once in a while, they bring him out to, like, edit stuff. But for no, he's like a
well,
new,
now,
he's one
what's
of the
his
few
name?
New York editors.
M. Night Shyamalan's based in the East Coast, right?
Right,
is
right.
That why
right.
He had a
exactly.
New York editor. Yeah,
yeah.
That's
why M. Night is out of Philly.
Philadelphia, yeah.
So now, does he still cheer for the Redskins?
Thanks for correcting Philly to Philadelphia.
Well, we have a lot of stupid people listening to the show.
What?
Let's face facts.
Really?
Does he still cheer for the Redskins as well, your brother?
No, he was not a Redskins
fan. He was
fan.
Always a Dolphins guy.
This is the weird thing. This is the crazy thing that's not in the story.
Yeah.
We picked different teams.
So who was his team?
His teams were the Colts, which were in Baltimore, the Colts.
Of course.
And then for some reason, he picked the L.A. Dodgers even as a kid. I think it was because... Sandy Koufax was like the big Jew pitcher.
Oh, okay.
When New York had just been just gone. Well, what year did New York?
No, this is in the 60s. Yeah. So in the 60s, so they were winning a lot.
I see.
Yeah, so I assumed he picked.
What's kind of like I run into people.
Does that make any sense?
Sure. Well, it's the way
people
pick the Steelers or the Cowboys
in LA who are Green Bay Packer fans, and I say to them, where is Wisconsin? They couldn't find Wisconsin on a map, but they're Green Bay fans because of Brett Favre or because of the colors or whatever.
Sure.
So it's like
same with the 49ers.
Yeah,
but it gets clouded in that area of Silver Springs, Maryland, because Silver Spring, Maryland, because it seems like every state has a Silver Springs. Every state.
Oh, it does.
Or Silver
or
Spring.
Or a Silver Spring.
Or Springfield.
No, Florida certainly did.
Yeah. Also, Philadelphia.
Does have a Silver Spring?
Yeah, exactly. It does.
But in terms of which football team you're going to cheer for, because you could obviously be a Colts fan or a Redskins fan or an Eagles fan.
I like that you went with the tough route. You went with the Senators, who were famous for sucking ass.
Exactly.
What did they become, by the way? They moved to Dallas. They became Rangers, right?
One became the Rangers and one became Montreal. It was like...
And then they
gave him a new franchise, and that became Montreal.
Yeah, and now they have the Nationals, who also suck, I think.
Well, they don't
I'm not
suck,
sure,
but,
don't they?
But I stopped following them.
Yeah.
But here's the crazy thing.
Okay,
like, my brother was a Colts fan growing up, Andrew, but then when he moved to New York, where he raised his kids, he became a Giants fan.
I don't care for this changing.
I don't,
with you,
Hannes.
No.
I'm
right.
with you.
Interesting. Well, like, if my daughter, if an NFL team came back to L.A., my daughter could have that option. I disown her, but she could have that.
What do you mean? Because she is a fan.
No, because she's
a
native Los Angeles.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well,
but yeah,
I mean,
there's people across the country who are like, you know, they're like, why isn't LA demanding a football team? We all have our own football teams. We don't. If they the LA Hollywood Stars are not going to make us the LA Jaguars if they come from Jacksonville, it's like we're not going to give a shit.
Well, also, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of choices, a lot of entertainment choices out here to do on a Sunday or any other day of the week. Whereas, like where I'm from in Pittsburgh, you know, you're just waiting for a concert to come that summer. You know, you're just waiting for months on end for anything to happen.
Now, speaking of sports, it's a little bit of a left turn, but do you know that I wrote a book? It says
called
author.
Maravich.
Yeah,
I know.
Pete Maravich.
The basketball.
He's from Aliquippa.
Yes, I did know that because we talked about it
Pistol,
last time you
Pete
were on
Maravich.
The show.
Yeah.
Pistol Pete Maravich, the basketball. And that's an interesting topic that you chose basketball to write about, or were you mainly writing about him? So he
well, it was mainly
your...
about basketball. It's mainly about him. And I love basketball. That's like my favorite sport. So.
Is that right? Is that your favorite sport? Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I still play it all the time. In Converse sneakers. In old school, like you
with no
Taylor.
Arch support whatsoever.
In Chuck Taylor's.
I feel like arch support is overrated, by the way.
But I don't think it's arch support. I think it's, there's like the heel.
Sorry,
is so...
I don't think we let that guy by. He's taking a stand. Arch support is overrated.
I'm anti-arch support.
Call in right now if you don't agree with me.
Well, let me make the argument. Let's hear this arch support argument.
Because we don't get that often
is,
enough.
If you think about the human foot, and this is going to be hard to do on the podcast, but it's kind of like this. How would you describe that?
You have an arch.
Like a little heel.
And then when you walk, and then it acts as an automatic like
a cushion, up, down,
almost a spring loaded thing.
So when you put the arch support under there, you take away that flexibility in your foot, and then you end up with things like plantar fasciitis. I know I'm pronouncing it wrong.
It depends on your foot though, because see, my ex-husband, when we walked on the beach together, it was like he would. I have such a high arch, it's like I have a spider footprint, whereas he has no arch, and he has to have these arch supports in all of his shoes. Not to walk on the beach, interestingly enough, but on the beach, that's where it's
Richard Nixon in 1972?
It's so flat, his foot. It looks as if a child drew a foot. I mean, it's so flat. There's no arch. So he has to have, so for him, arch supports are critical, or I'm not sure what would happen.
Apparently, he would explode. I don't know. But I mean, no wonder we had a mixed marriage. No wonder it didn't work. You had arches. He had no arches.
It depends on the foot.
But anyway, a lot of times, literally, when
By the way, I want to point out to people who can't see him, Wayne Fetterman, very tall. So him playing basketball makes total sense.
6'2". But a lot of times when I step on the court, people are like, you're not going to play in those. Those are for fashion, those shoes. Right.
I'm like, oh, that's funny.
I'm like, these were made for basketball players. You understand that, right?
I don't know. I do think
you don't know that they were made for basketball players.
Well, no, I know that, but I feel like I have a couple of friends who are like hold tight to their old skis. Like they won't give up the idea of the downhill parallel skis. Like they just won't go to parabolicals because that's the way you know.
What's the difference between a bollicle and a parallel?
A parabolical ski as
well.
Is like
one is one and one is two.
The
parabolical is two. I just made that. Sorry.
No. Parabolical skis are much shorter and they're just easier to use. They're easier to turn. It's a complete renovation in skis that
because
happened
they're curved.
Yeah, it happened like 20 years
ago. They're curved.
This is old school. But I have friends who stick to their Atomic Arc 203s because they just want to.
Maybe they're comfortable in them.
No, I understand that, but I seem to think that your argument of. You know, wearing the Chuck Taylors on the court is sort of similar. That's
not. I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you to an extent. In like, for example, I don't use a wooden tennis racket, even though when I was a kid, I played with something called a Tad Davis as my racket.
Right.
But you could. But I feel like in the shoe, it especially for my game, it doesn't.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It depends on your game. You know, it depends on. Yeah.
And I tried. Believe me, I tried. I tried the Kobe's. I tried the Iversons.
The Jordans.
I tried the Jordans.
Any chance
and they hurt my foot?
You keep in touch with Larry, like on Facebook or something? I mean, would that guy be
Larry Zine?
No.
Whatever happened to him?
Well, he lives. I think he lives in Alaska now. He was on ESPN3.
I bet you he's on Facebook.
He might be. I mean, he's a very famous guy.
Yeah, he's very famous. I don't. Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
I just think he might think of you. Well, you're doing quite well.
Yeah. Well, all right. But he's
you know, you're not nominated for an Oscar, but you're here with us. Wow.
Maybe you'll want to contact my brother,
with
Andrew.
Us and an Oscar is pretty giant. I just want to ask because you mentioned, of course, the horribly racist name Redskins.
Yes.
Which you did not understand. Are you surprised that they're still called the Redskins?
I am shocked.
In today's world, they're still, it's not even like Cleveland Indians or Warriors or Braves. It's literally a word skin with a color. It couldn't be more racist. It's I don't understand.
What's your take on that?
Well, I flip flop on this. Like I always feel like if it's offending someone, change it. Like what's the big deal?
I know that,
what's
the I big think deal? That too. Like, if it's a word, let's just change that word.
And I think it is going to happen. But now part of me, like in the last year, now that everyone wants to change it, now I'm flipping back to maybe I want to
hold school.
On. I want to hold on to
Do you like that NFL game when they wear the old uniforms?
Yeah, of course.
I don't care for
throwback.
That game. I don't care for that game.
No, the reason you don't care for it is that the Pittsburgh throwback uniforms are truly hideous.
They are. And like also, I just feel like everybody that wore those uniforms years ago are probably dead now. So it's like dead men uniforms.
Okay, those are new uniforms. You realize that.
Right. Christine also cannot watch black and white movies because the people in them are dead.
That's
what about when you
true.
Listen to
it's partially
the,
true.
What about when you ever seen the TV show Friends?
Yes, of course. I'm familiar.
You realize that laugh track is a lot of dead people.
Listen, Wayne, you don't have to tell me. Laugh tracks haunt me to no end, as do antiques. I mean, this is nothing unfamiliar on
no,
our show.
No, but like,
people
can we explore this for a little bit? So
if you
don't
want
like to.
To
see or be involved with anything with a dead person.
You know, I really don't care for that. And I'll tell you something. I know that someday when I'm dead, well, look, I'm going to be cremated. So I'm not going to be the person in the casket at the other side of the room when people are over there trying to make small
yeah, I don't
talk
care for that myself,
and there's
yeah.
the dead person over there. Like, I don't want that situation whatsoever, but I know that's coming. You know, for like my dad, my mom.
Right.
Is your dad still in New York?
Nah, it's a long story. Let's not get into my family. But
your brother, he's safe.
My brother is still in New York. My brother's still in New York and is doing great.
You don't go to Florida.
His funeral will be much bigger than yours, apparently.
What?
His funeral, he'll beat you. He'll have more people at his funeral.
Oh, he'll dominate.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you had a sibling
Larry Zonka
like that.
Will come to your brother's funeral.
Well, I had this thing where I would be like, because I was like a year behind him in school. And every class, like I would go in. And
they called you Andrew.
Would go like, oh my God, you're Andrew's little brother. You're going to be great. I'm like, just stop right now. I'm a different person. It's not going to be the same. I'm not going to be getting an A in this class.
Yeah, I'm the youngest of six. And I always got called on. I have four older sisters. So I was like the fifth Blackburn girl coming through.
And you all look
so
the
I
same.
I never
at that
got
age.
Called the right name. Yeah.
No, it wasn't that I got called the right name. It was just like I wasn't going to be their star pupil.
So you were the Jan to the Marsha.
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
I assume that's a reference to that show, the Brady Bunch show.
The Brady Bunch show. I used to watch
some
that
of the kids
growing
are
up.
Watching
Did you watch that growing up?
Yeah, it's an interesting show because it's, I'm not mistaken, the only show that was on prime time in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. I believe there was a
version. Each era, yeah.
There was a new version of the Brady Bunch. There was like a variety show and then something. And then,
I believe that.
Then there
and
was
then a lot
reunion,
of the movies.
And then
the movies.
Yeah, the reunion movies.
Because it debuted in 69, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's a fantastic show. I love it. My daughter watches it now.
She does.
Yes, which is quite humorous.
You know what? And obviously they did the Brady Bunch, that live show where
which
they kind of
made
fun of
right? Jane Lynch.
And Jill Soloway and all of them. But what was interesting to me and what caught my imagination when that came is like, oh, you really never know what in your culture is going to have legs.
Survive. Yeah.
You know, because everyone, when I was growing up, everyone would think like MASH would be like everyone would be into, like that was like a very well-respected show.
And
like,
it would last forever. And it's
does, but not in the way the Brady Bunch
does. You know what holds up completely
you
know?
Yeah.
is
your kid, I'm sure, doesn't watch MASH.
No. Yeah, but she likes the Brady Bunch. It's so simple. It's very, the concepts are very simple. I think she likes that.
This will sound
but
very...
what one other thing that holds up, I think, and I TiVo it always, is the Bob Newhart show. I always have that. I watch that on a regular basis.
Yeah, now though,
Bob Newhart 1.0. You're talking about the psychiatrist.
The very beginning. Marsha.
Yeah, I've started.
Marsha Clark. Marsha.
Wallace.
Wallace, thank you.
Yeah. You just passed away. Sorry, we're talking about a dead person. Can you handle it?
I can handle that.
You sure?
I can handle that.
By the way, to get back to that for a second, I just realized because we've had this discussion, but I never really paid attention to how many things bother you, Christine. It's like you realize every street in Los Angeles was walked down by hundreds
person.
Of thousands of dead people in the past.
Yeah, no, I get that. I'm on
okay,
it.
Okay, so that's not
that.
Bothering you. Okay.
Yeah, no, but that's okay. It's a strange mix of problems. I understand that.
Yeah. No, I want to say that. I'm on
so you won't
this.
Watch a black and white movie?
No, I wouldn't choose that. No, I wouldn't.
Would you watch
that.
Nebraska, even
no,
though
that
it's
that I
in.
Really want to see because I love Alexander Payne, and I do really want to see that.
You
see,
did.
That's, yeah, and I have a feeling it's going to be beautiful.
Well, now, I don't know if you know this. I'm right now writing the Independent Spirit Awards. I'm the head writer.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. You were up for an Emmy for that before, right?
Oh, WGA.
The Writers Guild Award for that. That's right.
So I've now seen everything, and that was quite a beautiful little movie.
I bet it is. Yeah. And also with black and white, you get so many more tones, right? There's a whole tonality thing going on.
I don't know if you agree with tones.
It all depends on who the cinematographer is.
Well, I've heard
because
like every...
People think nowadays, but sometimes people just shoot things in black and white or they video process a commercial into black and white. It's like, it's just
an aesthetic.
You have to do it by... Specifically, you can't just shoot things in black and white and it'll be better.
But I heard that movie is specifically like every shot is like a painting or a picture.
Yeah, it is. Obviously you have the vast landscapes, almost like the way Howard Hawks used to shoot those westerns.
Yeah.
It's just like these, like, okay, this is not, this is just.
Yeah, people
land.
Don't understand if you've never been through Nebraska. It has this, you have this stereotype that it's all just flat. It's not a stereotype. It just goes on and on.
Well,
and
here's
on,
the weird thing, and even though it's called Nebraska, it actually starts out in Billings, Montana.
What?
Well, like Fargo,
the movie.
Oh, no kidding! I didn't.
Yeah,
know
yeah,
that.
Yeah. It starts out in
Fargo
Billings.
Has one scene in Fargo, and the rest of it's all in Minnesota. There's only Fargo is not in Minnesota. Fargo's in North Dakota.
Oh, right. Honest, you're blowing my mind.
I know.
Really?
The killers that he hires are in a bar in Fargo, and they come to Minnesota, and all the rest of the movie.
Good one, Honest.
Like, takes place in. So it should be called, what was it? Not Billings. It was whatever
the name
of the town was.
I'm trying to think of the name because I've seen that movie a lot.
Big Sky?
No. Oh, my God. This is. Oh, senior moment right here.
This is good podcasting right here.
This is good podcasting. It's two guys staring into space.
No, I'm trying.
I got to look it up.
Kettridge or something like that. Something Ridge or...
Brainerd.
That's it.
Brainerd,
which is a real place.
Brainerd,
Minnesota. That's where she's the sheriff. And the only thing about that movie, I thought it captured the Midwest. It really did perfectly, except that she and her husband were not fat enough.
You mean based on those buffets they would eat?
They would, yeah, especially they would go to the buffet, and it's like, no, she should have weighed 190 pounds, and he should have weighed 250 pounds.
Yeah, but I think it was cute that she was the sheriff, and she's such a tiny person. I thought that kind of added a whole nother, you know, her strength and the fact that she's the sheriff, you know, you wouldn't have guessed
them.
That.
That's my favorite movie of the Brothers Coen.
Yeah, it's mine as well.
I could
mine
go
as
with
well.
That, yeah. I remember seeing it when it came out, and I was in an acting class with a girl from probably Brooklyn, somewhere very New York-y.
Right.
And she was like, what a crazy exaggerated satire. And I'm like, no. That's exactly how people are. They talk like that. They have this incredibly restrained anger. Just the scene that
the
I love.
The breakfast scene, the Arby's. Not the Arby scene, but the breakfast, when he's making her breakfast before she has to go out.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking of where she's confronting William H. Macy. She says, well, do you have the paperwork for the thing? And he goes, hey, look, you're going to have to come back because I don't have it. And she goes, well, there's no need to be snippy. And I had to explain to this girl from Brooklyn, when she says there's no need to be snippy, she's that close to shooting him in the face.
Yeah.
She's like, she didn't seem very angry. She's furious. You don't understand. That for her to say that was like, I'm going to kill you.
Hey, and Wayne, let me ask you something. The Independent Spirit Awards, you've written them before.
Yeah.
And how many years have you done
this? This is my third year.
Your third year.
Yeah.
And when you go
We had Seth Rogen was the first year I did it, mm-hmm. and then Andy Samberg and Patton Oswalt is this year.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, great.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. You know, Patton, every year when Patton has his birthday, he gets a lot of... you know, gifts, and people give him a lot of things, cookies, cakes, things like that. And I'm good friends with his brother, and he brings them to me.
Nice.
So every year, I just have a little, every year it's Patton's birthday, and I think, oh, good, because I'm going to get a treat tonight.
To those of you in the rest of the country, that just explained Hollywood in a nutshell. Patton Oswalt's brother gives my co-host cookies, and that's the 3 degrees of separation between me and Patton
and
Oswalt.
And more than that, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, the Independent Spirit Awards, when you go into writing something like that, you don't go into it thinking like, I'm going to win an award for this.
No, because that category is so weird of best writing for an award show.
Why? Why is it weird?
Well, because you're up against, it's so self-congratulatory because it's award shows, giving awards to award shows.
Yeah,
so
that's, yeah, but there
it's
is,
like a
there is something.
Mirror over it's and horrible. Over again.
Like, however, you
like,
know.
Oh, we were so much better than the Tonys. I mean, it's like, come on.
Well, so what is your job then? I mean, explain to us, what does that mean? If you are the writer of the Independent Spirit Awards, right. you turn in what?
Two things. One, anytime any announcer says anything, like, hey, we'll be right back.
Right.
I would write something like that. I can
think
write
that
word.
An award right there.
Your yeah. brother and his Oscar can kiss
yeah,
your
yeah,
ass.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, or any of the patter between the presenters.
Right, which they always say.
Always okay.
They put
is
up
lame,
the wrong thing. We
lame,
can't read it.
Yeah, yeah. That kind of thing. Yeah. Obviously, I'm very involved with the opening monologue. I'm very involved with the – we do set, like, video pieces. We got a couple we're doing with Patton that were – we – I. Involved with that, writing right. that.
So there and is a lot involved. Why would you think that shouldn't be award worthy? I mean, I'm just saying.
That's a
in
good
terms
question.
Of,
that is a good
you are a writer, and just, that is a skill
just,
that you have.
I am not for award shows giving awards to award shows.
I
just
see.
Like,
yeah,
I let think it, it's just let it. I get paid.
I
it's
see.
Too
that's
self-referential. Yeah. It's a reflection in a mirror of a reflection of a mirror.
No. I have no problem putting it on a resume.
Did you get a statue or something?
No. I get the joy
you know,
of
one time I dated this guy who won an Emmy, and he kept that Emmy in a Trader Joe's bag at the bottom of his closet. People don't really care about awards the way people out in America think that they might care about them. They don't care.
Really?
I don't think.
What is that? What's happening?
Oh, okay, great. Yeah.
we're getting an award for most 35 minutes of bullshit.
Oh no, so. We learned. Did you? Was there anything in the story that resonated with you? Was
oh
it,
my gosh!
By the way,
I'm
what
resonating.
Was my? Well,
yes,
I didn't
know
the timing on that. What was the timing on that story? No one knows. Okay,
we'll look it up for you for
that,
sure. That
I
can
think
be
that
done.
Was less than 5 minutes. That was perfect.
Less than five.
I think it was 4.5.
Wow.
That's what
okay.
I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah, no, it was a good story. It was a great story.
Yeah, that
story.
Was the right length. Sometimes people come in and they do a really short story, and sometimes people can write an epic poem. And you're like, you know, people have got
but
to their
you get
destiny.
The story. I was in the thing. I picked my team, and then the irony.
No, I get it. I get it.
Larry
and
Zonka.
Everybody can
I've got it right here.
Super Bowl.
You want to know what the final score of Super Bowl VII was?
I know what it was.
What was it?
14-7.
I heard it. 14-7.
Are you one of those guys who can name off the starting lineup of a
no,
team in a certain
no,
year?
No. But I can tell you, any year that – the Best Picture Oscar.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Okay, how about 1987?
Oh, sorry.
1987.
Now, maybe I can't do that year. Wait a minute. Give me a second. I think it's...
No, Amadeus was 84, I think. What was around then? Honest, you've got the computer. Agnes of God?
Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, I do, but yeah. I didn't know it was.
I believe it's The Last Emperor.
Oh, interesting. I don't always love the Academy Awards.
Thank God for Wikipedia
yeah,
right
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
I
don't always love what's what the best movie award
go.
Is.
Oh, the prize goes to Wayne Fetterman, yeah. Last Emperor.
And you, I was not cheating. I was
terrific.
Not looking at anything.
No, no,
that
no.
That was good. That was right in your yeah. own little Wikipedia head.
Yeah, it's not like I have like a... Have like a word for 87, and you know, like a trick. Like
no,
if
it wasn't
I think
a
back,
trick.
If I think back
see,
on it,
are you
and where
about,
you were at the time.
Yeah, before yeah. you were talking about, you don't know what's exactly. going to survive in.
Yes.
In see, like The Last Emperor. When was the last time anybody referenced that? Now here's the other movies that,
is that
were
a question?
That were no. It's like here's the other movies that were nominated for Best Oscar: Broadcast News, Fatal Attraction, Hope and Glory, Moonstruck. Moonstruck,
wow.
I will still watch. Fatal Attraction, people still reference that. They didn't win.
It held up, man. I mean,
no,
I
it
think
holds
it holds up.
Up
now.
It's like, okay, this is, follow me here. I'm going to go far afield.
Okay, keep it
you
brief.
You were saying
keep
with
brief.
The Brady Bunch, it's yeah. like, when the Brady Bunch was on, there were a lot, very other television shows that were winning Emmys and were very prestigious that nobody remembers at all. Yesterday on Antenna TV, I watched The Caine Mutiny.
Yeah.
And parts of it are really good. Parts of it are hokey as all hell. But you can tell how much money the studio put into it at the time and how prestigious and how important this film was. And it's like Humphrey Bogart making Casablanca was just like, it's my fourth film this year. I leave every day and get drunk. We don't even know what the ending is. We're writing a script while we're making it. And that is one of the greatest movies of all time. It's like in show business, you have no idea.
Well,
what
those are
gonna...
that's those are bad examples.
These are bad examples?
Yeah, those are bad examples because Casablanca wasn't a low-budget that movie.
No, it wasn't low budget, but it was like they made four movies that year. They made the same director and Sidney Greenstreet and Humphrey Bogart made another movie called Passage to Marseille the next month, which is also about World War II, which nobody remembers. You didn't know that.
You're
it was
right. You didn't know. Well, they didn't.
The Brady Bunch was a big hit. It's not like people weren't working on it, but they certainly thought, well, this is a
and it
kind
was certainly like we were talking
comedy.
About, not Emmy worthy. I don't think any there was nominations for writing.
Brady Bunch means more to people than
really?
Any of the shows that won Emmys. When you know, it's like anyhow.
I love all the Brady books, by the way, like A Very Brady This and A Very Brady That, and anything by Greg. But I remember there's a lot of funny stories about Robert Reed and how pissed he was at everybody because he was a professional actor. I mean, he was a New York guy, and he had some chops behind him, and he would get so mad
that he would
be mad at the writers because he thought all the scripts were just too petty, they were too simplified, they weren't complicated enough. But now he was a gay man. You know, playing this role at a time in which people didn't really talk about that.
Didn't
and
talk
so
about gay men.
Being gay or being on the sitcom where he was the all-American dad.
Right.
And he's, you know, banging Florence Henderson, supposedly.
What?
But not really.
Oh, you mean in the show, yes.
Yeah, in the show.
No,
yeah,
right. Off stage, only the kids would bang Florence Henderson, if I recall.
That's
my
right. I believe story. That's true.
Yes.
Hey, you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
I'll give it a try.
It can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the storyworthy wheel of truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
A vacation is my topic. I'm going to talk briefly about... when I was a kid growing up in Silver Spring, Maryland, we all know this, for a couple summers, my parents would take the Klan to Fire Island, which is now, speaking of Robert Reed, huge gay enclave. I don't even know if it was that in the 60s, but it was like a family place when I went there. But I do remember the two movies. They would have movies there. We would be there like 5 days. They have movies at the firehouse that they would play. And one of them was called Francis Joins the Navy, which was the Francis was this talking mule.
Yeah.
And then the next year we saw McHale's Navy Joins the Army or something like that. But they both, it was interesting looking back that both of those movies had like a Navy theme to him, yeah. And then that place became known as this gay enclave.
And that's where the song In the Navy came
from. Yeah, it's
from,
very Village People.
Can you look up with that that McHale's Navy movie? Because it was a movie made of McHale's Navy, the TV
right.
show.
You should do that, right. Well, like the
I'm not
TV
talking
show.
About the big one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was Petticoat Junction. That was a film.
That was a film also?
I believe
with,
so.
With the TV cast.
I
McHale's
think so.
Navy movie, second thing on Google. Let's see what it says right here. Yeah, 1997. That's
no,
the, nope. 1964.
That's it.
That's the
it.
One.
That's the one I saw. What is it?
Wait, let's see if it spawned.
Let's see what it's called. What is it called?
It's called McHale's Navy. That was
oh, it's just called McHale's Navy.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, and the
what
other
was
one
was the premise of McHale's Navy?
Oh, I'll tell you. It
Go.
Was about,
let's hear it.
It was a World War II sitcom.
Right. Well, sure.
Classic World War II sitcom about this outpost, New Caledonia, which is way off in the Pacific, and this crew on this boat, and Bert. Excuse me, Ernest Borgnine was
Bert
McHale.
Convy.
No, Ernest Borgnine was McHale, right?
Right, right.
And he had won an Oscar, obviously, in 1950.
For the Poseidon Adventure.
No.
No.
1955 for Marty.
For Marty.
Or Marty won Best Picture. Did he win the Best Actor? I'm not sure. But anyway, he was in the Best Picture in 1955.
Okay.
Marty. And this was like a cute little sitcom about the hijinks on the sea. It was kind of loosely based a little on... there was a show called The Phil Silvers Show in the 50s, which I had not seen as a kid.
Right.
But later when I look back on it, I was like, oh, I see. It's like It was like they're always trying to scam
Sergeant Bilko.
Yes, Sergeant Bilko. Yes, Sergeant Bilko. So it was kind of like an updated Bilko, and Tim Conway was in it, and
Carl Ballantyne.
Yes, Carl Ballantyne.
Met.
You know
he died. I met him about 10 years ago.
We may have to talk about a dead person right now. Let's talk. Carl Ballantyne used to do the fake magic act.
Yes,
he would do magic, but it was all like stupid tricks under the guise of doing something phenomenal.
I ran into him at
and
the,
Joe Flynn was the like the cat, the major or something.
Oh, with
like
the with the glasses. My dad's glasses, because everybody in the 60s had the same black horn rim glasses.
But they made a movie, so it was just called McHale's Navy, and the other one was Francis Joins the Navy.
Oh my god!
Which is about, and that's Donald O'Connor and
then one of
Mule.
My favorite shows was Gomer Pyle.
Yeah.
Why were there so many shows about
because
war?
I'll tell you exactly because tell a me. Lot of those writers came out of like were GI Bill guys and came out like that was their experience.
Right.
Interesting. I think that in World War II, everybody went voluntarily was in the service or very related to the service or their family was. So like in the 50s and 60s, it was very much a part of your life. The Army was not some some weird place. Oh, some people do that. It's like, no, this is a mainstream. Everybody's got something to do. Everybody has a story. It's like watching the Caine Mutiny, and I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, this movie's supposed to take place during World War II.
Can I guess the year of the Caine Mutiny?
Yes.
Please do.
I'm going to guess 1954.
You are correct.
Ooh. That there we go. Correct. You're amazing.
And so that's good. I know
yes.
movies.
I write for movies. Yeah. You're a Wayne-a-pedia.
It's less than 10 years after the end of World War II.
Right.
And they're making movies set 9 or 6 or 7 years before. And it's as a kid, I never understood how close in time World War II was to, like, I'm watching World War II movies from the 40s in the 70s and thinking this is a million years ago. And to my dad, it was like 25 years before. Which is nothing.
Nothing.
Right.
Which is nothing now.
Well, here's a weird thing, that the time between us now and when Star Wars came out is the same time between Star Wars and Gone with the Wind.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's going to make my head explode.
Yeah.
That was good, Wayne.
And I'm gonna go out on a limb. I don't really care for either one of those movies.
Neither do I. There, I said it too.
Are you? You're just being provocative, right?
I'm not being provocative.
No, Gone with the Wind, you don't like.
Well, I remember seeing it. It was just so long and long and also
I usually like classic movies from like 1939. I love The Wizard of Oz. I love Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. I love a lot of movies. I was genuinely surprised that I didn't care for Gone with the Wind.
Okay.
Because I am an old Hollywood nut.
He is an old Hollywood nut.
And
yes.
I love that stuff. And I was like, I'm amazed at how I'm not.
Can I say something about the two of those films you just mentioned? I feel like, oh, do you have to wrap up? What's happening?
Go ahead.
It's the internet. There's no such thing as time.
We can wrap.
No, go ahead. I want to hear.
That I feel like when I look back at all the great directors. And again, both those movies were directed by multiple people, Gone with the Wind and The Wizard of Oz. But the name on the credit, Victor Fleming, is the same name as directed by. And I feel like there's no director in history, and I can't imagine there'll ever be a director that has that good a year as a director.
That's very interesting. I didn't know that. What do you mean by many people directed?
Like, for example, like Steven Soderbergh, I think one year had like Traffic and maybe an Ocean's 11 movie or something like that.
But he actually directed fully those movies.
He did direct.
Gone with the Wind and Wizard of Oz would like, there were people directing and then the director would get fired and they'd
George
bring in a Cukor new director.
Would come in for like,
so I did not know
it's
that.
Not real. It says directed by, they both say directed by Victor Fleming, who otherwise you would have forgotten his name many years ago, but he doesn't. It's like
he wasn't every day.
The director, he was a director.
Still, but his name is on both of those.
Yeah, that is amazing. I remember reading that years ago and going, "Wait a minute, the same guy."
Do you like The Wizard of Oz? Have you seen that?
No, I don't care for that at all, Wayne Fetterman.
As a film, amazing, and the acting, fucking Burt Lahr.
Yeah, no, it just scared me. I just have nightmares.
Too scary.
The flying monkeys.
Just too scary.
You don't care for weird things.
My whole day is now. I'm spinning now. I'm reeling.
I know we're wrapping, but can I say along those lines? The scariest along those lines would be like when the witch comes and sets the guy on, like it's just a scarecrow on fire. Horrifying. But to me, one of the most horrifying villains ever.
Yeah.
In a kind of fun movie, but not great movie, was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah, yes. Sure.
There
yeah.
was that weird child catcher, or yeah. I don't even know what
he
it was called.
He was a child snatcher.
Child snatcher.
He was.
That thing, that's to terrifying. This day, like the way he tricks the kids and they think...
Oh, he no, was an evil man. He was an evil, evil
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he was just literally a pedophile torturer.
He was a pedophile. He was a priest.
And
was
it's like...
Hey, listen, I want to thank you so much for coming
okay.
today.
I know I've rambled.
No, but listen, you always have so much good stuff going on. I mean, yeah. you do write nonfiction, and then you have a show at the Improv that goes on. You have a very Fetterman Christmas.
Yep.
You always have a lot
and
of...
And the Wayne Fetterman Film Festival.
The Film Festival. A lot of irons in the fire, and I always appreciate that.
Thank you.
I'm a multitasker
Wait,
myself.
Can I ask one question before you leave?
Please.
Let's
what
do
is
it.
Your favorite film of all time?
I don't really have one, but I will say like a couple. Like I really like Casablanca. We talked about
yes,
that earlier.
Casablanca.
And I really like Jaws a lot.
Yeah,
I
and
love Jaws.
I actually I like that movie Fargo. So we kind of touched on
all
a
three
few.
Of those solid films. Yeah.
All right, you guys, we're going to wrap it up Later. Right about now. I'd like to thank Anthony Bench here at Sideshow Network for helping us out today, and also Sean Merrick. He's
Sean
in the
Merrick.
Other
he drank all
room.
The Coca-Cola and pissed off Wayne Fetterman.
Oh, furious.
I'd also like to thank John Thomas Griffith. You know, he's the guy that wrote the theme song "Follow Me, Hannes."
Yes, yes, he likes Pepsi.
And
it's
on behalf of our storyteller tonight, Wayne Fetterman, and of course, Johannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.